Paul is all about offending you. You know, it's all about he wants to make you boil. He would say something outrageous just because he knows that he will get a wild reaction back. And that's what makes then a stimulating conversation. That's what he wants. He doesn't want everyone to just say, oh, I love your movies. They're so interesting, so colorful, and they're so peaceful. Yeah. He wants people to go to him and say, how could you do that? I mean, it's a sex, the violence, the people, the cutting, the throat, the blood gore. Why would he get off of something like that? He likes when you come out like that. And then he will come back and he will say, that's what life is all about, isn't it? In reality, I mean, look at the Bible. It's about, and he would then get into it, and that's what he likes.
Welcome back to Rotten Rewind, a podcast dedicated to the most critically maligned films according to the review aggregate site RottenTomatoes.com. If a film fails to score above the 60% threshold that Rotten Tomatoes sets as its freshness standard, we get to talk about it right here on the most successful podcast in Patreon history. I'm Courtney Peranto.
I'm Max Rowe. It's kind of a bittersweet day on the podcast because we'll be discussing Paul Verhoeven for what's most likely the last time.
Oh, no.
We've done Showgirls. We've done Basic Instinct. I mean, I don't think we're... I mean, he could, you know, he could put out some... his next film could be... We could get another Hollow Man. But yeah, we're gonna be ending his run on the podcast with his last American film. The film that sent him packing his bags and heading back to the Netherlands. His 2000 take on The Invisible Man, Hollow Man, starring Kevin Bacon, Elizabeth Shue, and kind of a pre-comeback Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot he was... that's not true. I didn't even ever know he was in this because the first time I watched this, it was before I was cognizant of who Josh Brolin was because I think I watched it when it came out.
Sure. But yeah, we have a first-time guest with us that we're very excited to have on. Very talented author and critic, Mike Thorne. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
We kind of said it before we started recording, but we wanted to do Hollow Man for a long time. As we said, we Basic Instinct was one of the first movies that we did. We did Showgirls last year. Hollow Man is his most reviled movie. When I was looking for people to come on for Hollow Man, I saw that you were a fan, and I wanted to invite you on, so I figured this was the perfect introduction.
Yeah, amazing. I'm always happy to fly the Hollow Man flag. This is the first time I've ever flown the Hollow Man flag, but... I will try my best.
There's a few of us out there. Have you seen Hollow Man 2?
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was just going to say, has anyone seen Hollow Man 2?
I haven't seen it.
Christian Slater's in it. Like, I don't know why I haven't seen it.
I don't know if Christian Slater or Peter Facinelli are the evil scientists because it could really easily be either one of them.
I guess I decided it was Slater because like him and Bacon seem more like analogs to one another, but I don't really know why.
You know what? You're right. It is Slater. And I guess Peter Facinelli is the Brolin in here. Mm-hmm. Well,
it was
came out
to video, right?
Yeah.
Or was it? Okay.
It was. Yeah. It came out 6 years after and then went straight to DVD, directed by Claudio Fa. You're a Verhoeven fan, right, Mike? In general?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've mostly just seen his American stuff. Like I've seen some of his more recent European films. I should be a better Verhoeven fan and look back, but yeah, he's great. Like all the films you were naming is like, I'm glad to hear you're defending those films.
We're definitely big fans. I think we technically could do Starship Troopers in a bonus episode because I think
that's what
like,
I was thinking,
it's barely fresh. So we definitely would have to cover that one, but all of his American films were, I think, pretty well received. The one that I really love is The Fourth Man. That one's really great.
See, I've never seen that.
I would definitely recommend The Fourth Man. Just a really good erotic thriller. I would definitely say Fourth Man. I mean, I like Black Book and Benedetta a lot.
As you say, I have never seen Black Book either. I've never seen some of the new ones.
I dig Black Book. I put it off for a long time because it was like, I remember it came out when I was working at a theater and I was younger and I don't think I even realized it was Verhoeven. And because I worked at a theater that was like, our clientele is mostly people over 70. And they were really excited for Black Book because anytime there's a World War II movie, they were flocking to it. And it was another untold story of World War II. So we had it on two screens. That's how popular Black Book was in my theater. People were lining up for Black Book.
That's
we had a lot of wheelchairs.
I didn't realize that Verhoeven is 84 years old.
Wow. He's old. Yeah.
I didn't realize he was that old. So yeah.
An old guy. I've never seen Turkish Delight. That one's fun.
Is it based on the book?
And I've heard Spetters is really good. Yeah, I haven't
seen it. Oh, it is based on the book. Why did I second guess myself?
But yeah, I guess Hollow Man was one that, like, did anybody else see it in theaters?
I didn't see it in theaters. I remember that, like, my dad must have rented it from, like, Blockbuster.
I want to show you something.
No. It was, like, my parents are divorced. And so I think my dad rented it from Blockbuster and then had it on a weekend that he had me. And I was like, oh, I could put this on. And I was just like, well, this movie's fucked. So in my head, I think I always told myself, like, my dad loves Hollow Man. But that's not true. He just happened to have rented Hollow Man. And I, like, in my head as a teenager,
I could see your dad, like, I don't even know.
I could definitely see my dad.
Like, taste. I could see him being a Hollow
Man. Yeah, I could actually totally see him being in the Hollow Man. But it is sort of like, it's almost pure taboo porn. Like, it's pretty fucked up.
It
feels like the perfect time to revisit it because, like, everyone loves the new, and I like a lot the new woke Invisible Man. And so it's like, you might as well go back one more remake ago.
this is the most realistic, I think, adaptation of the Invisible Man imaginable.
It absolutely is.
Mike, did you see it in theaters?
Most misanthropic.
Yeah.
No, I didn't. I actually just saw it for the first time last Halloween.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't think my mom realized that it was going to be as, I guess, rapey as it is.
I don't think studios realized it was going to be as rapey as it is. Like, this movie is this is, like, I think you've said it a lot on the podcast, Max. Like, this is just, like, one of the wildest, like, studio funded movies. To the fact that, like, this is, like, at least for a while, he is our hero. Or yes. And even before he becomes, like, a little, like, off his rocker, he's not a nice dude at all. Like,
no, he's not a good guy. Yeah, I must have just turned 12 when my mom took me to see this in theaters, and then I don't even remember how she felt when we left, but I definitely don't think when she thought, like, oh, it's R, but it's like an Invisible Man thing, I don't think she was like, there's probably a rape scene in there somewhere, but it's okay. Like, I don't think anyone was,
I think you're like, it's an H.G. Wells property, like, how bad can this be?
Good morning, sir. Your team's in early today. Something special going on?
Sorry, Ed. You know the rules.
If we're gonna move forward, this is the next logical step.
We're ready for you.
Here goes nothing.
Sebastian, are you in here? Question is, what would you do if you knew you couldn't be seen?
Imagine the freedom to fulfill any desire. Now, imagine that power in the wrong hands.
It's amazing what you can do when you don't have to look at yourself in the mirror anymore.
According to most of the plot details that I looked at, they describe him as brilliant but arrogant. I guess that's a good way of putting it.
Because it kind of just starts, so you never really get to see him be, like, a scientist beyond just, like, really being into this invisible shit and being sort of a terrible person. Like, it just starts and everyone's
really,
like,
invisible shit.
Everyone's like, he's a genius. He's a genius.
And, well, he's, like, introduced eating Twinkies and watching Jay Leno while trying to become invisible. So I guess that's, you know.
Yeah.
He's a genius, but he's also a regular guy.
Yeah.
He likes a good Twinkie. He loves jaywalking. He's a big fan. he's, you know, he's a scientist and he's working in a lab with his ex-girlfriend.
These scientists are not very professional. I have a note. I was like, no. They fuck each other more than, like, people in my industry, the restaurant industry. This is fucked.
Do you think that Frank and, what is the other woman's name? Janice are fucking?
I think they all are fucking. Like, I don't know how science gets done at this lab.
That's how brilliant they are. Kevin Bacon plays Sebastian Cain. So he's a molecular biologist. He's basically, developed a serum that can make you invisible. And they test it on animals. And then he says, let's test
it
on me.
Just put it in me.
And then everyone's like, are you sure? But they're more just worried about, like, his well-being, not like, he might do something shady if we make him invisible.
Yeah. I think we should say, so he's been previously fucking Elizabeth Shue, whose character's name is Linda. And she's secretly fucking, well, he knows that she has, like, a new slam piece, but he doesn't know that it's Josh Brolin's character, another scientist named Max. And so there's like this love triangle happening in the background, kind of in the foreground. It is actually probably more important than being invisible to him. So that is happening. And I do think that it's maybe notable that like when they make that one monkey invisible, like he kind of goes like, no pun intended, like apeshit at the end. And so I don't really know Sebastian's like thought process to being like, I'll be okay. Like it just sort of makes the monkey like sort of rabid.
So he becomes invisible and he then does what most average American men would do in a situation, which is rape his neighbor and murder his coworkers. There's a lot more to it than that. But it is funny like revisiting that it now and being like, honestly, I bet a lot of fucking pieces of shit would do this. Like they would definitely get this power and be like, I'm going to really fuck some people's lives up.
Yeah.
Poor Rona Mitra, who plays his neighbor. I think are the roles that she kind of got for a while there. She is the lead in Doomsday. I think that she even does show up in an Underworld sequel. That's how much she looked like Kate Beckinsale at the time. But yeah, unfortunately, she is cast here as I don't know if she speaks outside of hello.
Yeah, I don't know if she speaks outside of hello either.
It sounds like I'm disparaging this movie. It's mostly just because I think it's kind of...
You're disparaging men. I don't think you're disparaging the movie.
It's not my favorite Verhoeven movie by a long shot, but I think it's pretty... fucking fascinating.
I also think that like it takes out like a star like Kevin Bacon to like make kind of a bunch of like shitty movies, and I'm still like, I have goodwill towards him. I like the guy.
I think Kevin Bacon is underrated.
Yeah, I think
Bacon's underrated, man. Especially rewatching Mystic River, I think he gives the best performance in it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
He's incredible in Mystic River.
Like he doubles down here. Like he's in no way trying to be likable. He's just the worst person in the movie from the get. He like literally calls himself God. He should not be a scientist anymore.
It's interesting too, though, that whole God thing. Like there was a string of science paranoia movies in the late 30s, early 40s with Boris Karloff. And this was like a motif, humans trying to be God. And I feel like that it's kind of strange to see a early 2000s movie like directly addressing that.
I mean, what year was Flatliners?
That was 95.
I think it's like earlier. I think it's like 91 almost.
I mean, because I think that like Flatliners is like the moralistic conservative one. And this one is just like chaos, which I kind of appreciate.
Yeah, this one's
pessimistic as hell.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, I mean, again, though, I don't even know what, like at that point in time, it's like, okay, he's working with Sony again. He just did Starship Troopers with them.
Did that movie do well at the time?
It did okay.
I know it's like huge now. Okay.
It did okay. Like nothing top Basic Instinct and RoboCop, I think, for him and like Total Recall. But yeah, I guess it's like you give him a script like this, like it's kind of not surprising that this is what he turned in. I don't know if it's also because of obviously how groundbreaking the visual effects are for the time. God. I mean, they still look better than most movies that come out.
Better than it. Yeah, incredible.
I'm assuming like so much of that overshadowed maybe the really, really dark elements of it that I think would not have been able to survive today, probably. I watched the director's cut.
Me too.
Not significantly longer, but that rape scene is longer.
Were there any other changes you noticed? I've never seen the theatrical.
I honestly don't remember because I saw when I was 12. Okay. I just know that because I noticed, I was like, this does feel longer. And then like the actual rape scene, because it's pretty fucking upsetting. And then also when I was reading a little bit afterwards, they did say that originally when they test screened it, that scene ran longer. They were like, you have to cut this down. But I always thought it was interesting because Verhoeven, basically he was talking about that scene because he thought initially, that's where the audience loses sympathy with him, complete sympathy with him. Mm. But during a lot of the test screenings, what he found was that the studio didn't want it to be that long for obvious reasons. But he did find that a lot of people actually didn't stop identifying with him at that point in the movie. Mm. And he said he was talking about it and he said, Hollow Man leads you by the hand and it takes you with Sebastian into teasing behavior, naughty behavior, and then really bad and ultimately evil behavior. At what point do you abandon him? I'm thinking when he rapes the woman would probably be the most, would be the moment that people decide this is not exactly my type of hero. Yeah. Though I must say a lot of viewers follow him further than you would expect, which also is surprising.
Isn't there something though, like kind of De Palma-esque about this movie? Like the way he's playing with you
and Felicity. Yeah.
And it's so I think he's deliberately fucking with viewers on that front. And also, like Courtney brought up, that he is positioned as the hero for the first what, like maybe even the first hour almost.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour movie. I would say at least half of it, he's the hero. Wild.
It's almost like he's supposed to be like the Cruise character in Top Gun. Like he's just like a hot shot. and instead of like, it's a plane, it's like, invisible is his plane.
Tom Cruise played Sebastian.
Dude, honestly, if Tom Cruise, that's yeah, I was gonna say like that's a scary thing about Cruise is that like even though I definitely rather like get drinks with Kevin Bacon, and I think Kevin Bacon's a great actor, I do think that if it was Cruise, I might stay with him for longer because he does have that like culty, like cult leader like charisma that like I think that Bacon's really good at playing like petulant and shitty. But like, listen, I'm a fucking girl and I hated this character immediately. He just seemed like a nagging dude. Like he's just this, like nagging this girl to try to get back together with him. I do think that the way that Elizabeth Shue is written is like really, really sad and funny. Like everyone here is smart. Everyone in this
except for the one guy who just looks at porn all day.
Who's a dude that like almost is Paul Giamatti? But
he
not?
Was like one of those go-to guys in the 90s that you just look at and you're like, you're a scientist. Like he just probably got cast as a scientist and everything.
Yeah. Mid Animorphs Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it was like someone stretched him out a little bit. But this guy, Greg Grunberg, okay. he's apparently an emergency medical technician. I don't know what this guy does outside of look at porn and seems to be like the last defender of Sebastian. He's looking at porn at one point and he just says to himself, I'd suck the tits right off of you.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. that's great screenwriting right there. But like everyone in this office has to be smart or this lab has to be smart. And Elizabeth Shue's character is obviously very smart. There's a sub at some point where she's just like, I wasn't that smart. I was just the person standing next to you.
Yeah, this you're is right. Some
David writing.
We should also point out, Elizabeth Shue gets top billing in this movie, which I always thought was interesting.
Yeah, what did she do right before this? I was surprised.
Did she get nominated for Leaving Las Vegas? Maybe that's why.
I think that is. If you're thinking about screen time, like even though Bacon's character is in the movie the most, like he spends a lot of time invisible. So
that's how they argue that he shouldn't get top billing. I mean, technically, he's not in it, but yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he had to do a bunch of shit for it. Like
it sounds like it was a difficult shoot. I mean, they had to shoot everything chronologically. They had to shoot every scene with him where he's invisible twice.
Why?
So they had to shoot because they had to. I am not going to pretend to understand how the VFX work on this, but basically.
But I feel like you can feel his mannerisms in the film, right?
Like, he's in every scene though. Like, because originally they were like, we'll just have you shoot opposite nothing. And then he was like, no, like, let's find a way for me to be in the scene with them. So they're not just having to act off of a wall. So he was super committed to it, but it does sound like it was difficult. Also, Elizabeth Shue, I think, broke her foot or her ankle in the middle of shooting. So they just stopped shooting for a month and then came back. They're both really good. Obviously, this was like Josh Brolin pre No Country. He's one of those guys that's he's not the first guy that I would think of as a scientist.
But I think that's kind of what makes it fun. Because he's always going to get to wear cowboy boots now for the rest of his whole damn career. So it's like just funny.
You know what? I think he was a scientist in right before this was Mimic, the Guillermo del Toro movie. I think he is a scientist in that, maybe with Mira Sorvino. But I can't remember. I know he's in it. I just don't know if he's a scientist. It's just funny that there was maybe a period where Hollywood was like, can we make Brolin a scientist? Can we make him smart?
Can I build off one thing Courtney said earlier that where we're like empathy was Kevin Bacon's character in the movie? I was also feeling like I never liked this character at all. And it got me thinking about, I just made this random connection, but this came out the same year as Mary Harron's adaptation of American Psycho. Yeah. And it struck me that these films are functioning in a similar way. Like we're kind of along the journey of this psychopath, very much seeing from within his eyes, super ambitious, super capitalist. And it just, I don't know, it struck me as odd. And George A. Romero has a movie called Bruiser from the same year about this kind of corporate guy who loses his identity. I don't know. There's something going on in 2000 that's...
That's interesting because it's like two source materials. Obviously, Invisible Man has been redone, you know, several times, but American Psycho being adapted by Mary Harron. And then this, it's funny to see like the actual fully realized versions of both of these stories at their core.
But like what American Psycho does that this movie doesn't, and like that's why this movie feels so much more insidious, is that like, yeah, American Psycho is like more obviously a satire, but it also like the cute thing that American Psycho does, it's like, it sets you up to like also not like Jared Leto. It sets you up to be like, don't you kind of hate this character too and want them to die, even though you don't. We're in this movie, like, you really do like the Kim Dickens character. Like, you really do like a lot of the people that bad things happen to. And it just makes him like so unwinnable immediately, because he's just like a dick to all of these people who seem like they're kind of just nice. Like, especially Kim Dickens' character, because she's just like, she seems to be the least horny, or at least the most like focused on just working during her shift. And everyone else seems like
pretty. He's also like particularly shitty to her throughout the movie.
He is particularly shitty to her. It makes you feel like he's been like kind of workplace harassing her forever. I mean, I guess like that shows like what a strong performance Bacon is giving.
I agree with the two of you. Like, I never like his character. He's arrogant and shitty, and I admire Kevin Bacon for like playing into that. I will also say that I think casting Kevin Bacon's interesting, because I think he actually has a kind of inherently unlikable quality about him that he can channel really easily. There's something about I think aura, even though I really like him, something against him, I think he has the look of somebody that I think immediately you're like, this guy has like something villainous about him.
Got a villain face.
Yeah, he just has that.
I think it's this like pre-flared nose.
Yeah, it's a very specific look. I think that watching it this time, I realized too, is that like from the very beginning, it's so clear what his motives are and how he's able to manipulate everybody around him. Because I think at the very beginning, it's all about power and it's all about this control. But obviously, like, it's really funny because I don't even know if it's intentional, but he literally comes up with the serum right after the first time you see him peeping on his neighbor. Mm-hmm. He's literally watching her. He gets really horny and then he thinks of it and he goes, I'm a goddamn genius.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like every time he's like really horny or turned on or something like that, he's like empowered by it almost, and he comes up with something,
or jealous,
and it like drives him. Exactly. Spying on Elizabeth Shue and Josh Brolin, like everything is either like it's the power, the lack of power that he can't have over the situation that keeps driving him. But I think it's pretty like clear from the beginning, this guy is awful.
He's
like
fucked.
And I don't think that a movie released today that was a version, obviously we got The Invisible Man 2 years ago, but I don't think if it was like from the POV of this character,
never.
There's no way that he's going to do half the shit he does in this movie. He's not going to kill a dog. He's not going to rape his neighbor.
Oh, he's definitely not going to kill that dog. That was
some
a
studio
very...
exec. Listen, you can rape this girl, but you are not killing this dog.
He like throws it against the cage.
It's really brutal.
It's
really
like really upsetting because he does something like the like, come here, it's okay.
That's part of what really interests me about this movie, though, and that I really was kind of zeroing in on this time, is the way it's dealing with human animal dynamics. There's sort of a thread of like a really grotesque Darwinism in the film, and also of kind of showing humankind in a really, like I kept saying, it's really misanthropic, because there is an alignment of Kevin Bacon with the gorilla. If anything, he's worse because he has this kind of pathological strategy, kind of positioning the characters in proximity to animals in the way it does. It seems to me like it's kind of flying in the face of human exceptionalism, which is also crazy for a studio Hollywood movie. Usually they're about triumph and like emphasizing a positive theme. It's like, no, people are ugly and kind of fucked.
Verhoeven was like one of the few directors who was able to kind of stake a career on that for like 10 years in the studio system and like get away with shit that you're like at the time was either reviled or misunderstood. And now we're like, holy shit, how the fuck did he do this?
In some ways, this movie reminds me of like if the tale of like Fatal Attraction was just like told from the femme fatale's character. It's just like, oh, she just like, she's horrible and she wants to get what she wants no matter what, and she'll like kill a bunny or kill a dog, and it just is like, well, if it's a dude, it's repugnant and we don't understand it, because like the way that we need to like fetishize like a crazed female woman. But it's like when it's done in a man, it's just like he's a horrible villain. And I think that Verhoeven knows that he's a villain,
or he's
like,
an
I don't
anti-hero
think in any way. I know, but that's, I don't think Verhoeven.
No, I don't think Verhoeven looks at it
that way. I think you are supposed to be repulsed by him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure there's like some men's rights people that like really would appreciate this film.
I guess the only movie I can think of that came out of the studio system in the last few years that even dabbles in that territory is a movie that I don't like, but Joker, I guess, is kind of.
Oh,
but even Joker, it still feels like artificial in what it's trying to.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just trying to provoke you as opposed to just like realistically portraying this character. I was just going to say, talking about the power thing, I forgot. So there's a sequence where I think Kevin Bacon's driving to the Pentagon in his purple shirt or something. He's listening to a horrible song.
He goes nuts at the end.
he's listening to a terrible song. And I was like, what is this song? It's called Power Struggle by Sunna.
Fuck yeah.
I don't know who Sunna
is.
Was
that the one that was like, you were made?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck is this? What is
that? And he's loving it.
He also gets out of his car so pissed off. He just like fucking slams the door. So angry. What is
yeah, it's like these people that are trying to stop him from like raping people, like are just like getting in his way, and he's all pissy. So he will like drive to a senator's house and like murder them in their pool. It's rad.
He drowns the senator. He kills a lot of people.
Yeah, he kills a lot of people really, really, really quickly.
Yeah, the dude who's looking at porn gets a really fucked up death. I mean, I guess also poor Kim Dickens. Also, before he kills Kim Dickens, he just says, I always knew you were a bitch.
And like, I think what makes her a bitch now is like, she's solid bitch because she's like trying to not get murdered.
Mm. Like, I always knew you were a bitch.
How dare she, the audacity.
Like, for real.
When he's on top of Elizabeth Shue at one point, does he say, want to know what it's like to fuck an invisible man? Does he say it to her or Kim Dickens? He could have been anybody, honestly.
I
think
it was because I feel like he also tries to get him to fuck her while he's invisible, just like at a party, too. Like, I think, and the thing is, her character seems to kind of be thinking about it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Again, the staff is so horny. It never seems like Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Shue just go home after like a grueling day at work and like go to sleep. It seems like they like fucking a negligee every time.
Did anyone else notice the brand of computers?
No.
They're Nokia.
Okay.
Is that a thing?
I don't think so. They are using Nokia computers, which I'm assuming was just like a product placement thing.
Brand, yeah.
They have incredible video chat quality. God, what else?
Horror becomes a slasher at the end too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it gets to be like an actual horror movie. I mean, his death is pretty great. Like, The last like 15 minutes that just sort of turns the lab into kind of a house of horrors. That is
the last elevator sequence is great.
It's so amazing. Good.
It's really well done. Oh yeah, I had a question. What does this movie look like if Joe Esterhaus wrote it? Because they were working together for a while there.
If he writes it, Kevin Bacon's like also a cokehead. Duh. I think it's a lot faster. And I also think that like maybe him and the porn dude are like friends.
You gotta like, come over later and show me some porn. If they would have lived to see Pornhub, they would have been, they probably wouldn't have done a lot of the things that they did. This guy just really needed some good quality internet porn.
Yeah. Or like there's like a bar fight that the invisible man just like rules at or something.
It is interesting. You never see him really go out in the world. There's no sequence of him going out in the world really outside of scaring a kid.
It's just like, dude, why did you escalate so quickly? It's like, if it's me, I first go to Sephora for a while. You know what I mean?
Start with
shoplifting. Then I go get myself a free Adderall prescription from Walgreens. Like, I would mostly shoplift. I would mostly shoplift for sure. Because as an Asian person, they're not looking at me anyway. I am Invisible Man. But yeah, I mostly shoplift. I don't think I do anything that pervy.
I don't know if it was the last time we were talking about this. I said there should be just the flip side of the realistic version of this, just like a really insecure guy who just like drops in on his friends to see if they're talking shit about
him. Yeah.
Just sits there listening. Just fucking knew it.
Yeah.
He just thinks everyone
I'm just shocked. That,
I mean, yeah. He is insecure in his own way though, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
He's just too amped up to the level of.
Yeah. He's not like a sad. It's not like literally a Paul Giamatti was the invisible. Oh, God damn it. You bitch. Yeah. Do you know who was originally offered the part of Sebastian?
Could I guess? Do you think it's guessable?
Yeah. But. Another actor who can easily play and likable because he is, even though he's a good actor, Edward Norton.
Is Edward Norton that bad? He's bad, huh?
It seems like he's just kind of a control like a, freak. And
honestly, I bet that would have been good too.
Oh, I think he would have been a good actor. He is. Yeah. And he has that. I think he can play like smug in that way. The other one I think is a great actor. I just don't think he would be fun in this part is Guy Pearce.
Oh, no. I don't care about him. I don't care about Guy Pearce.
I like Guy Pearce. I just don't think he's that.
He's good.
Character. Yeah. Yeah. If anything, he's like the Josh Brolin character. Like he's good in that capacity, I think, here. But
who would be Hollow Man today?
They wouldn't make it. I can't.
That's the thing. I was gonna say, we don't have a Kevin Bacon. We don't have like a... Because Kevin Bacon, I also don't think is a leading man today. He barely can get leading parts anymore because of just his look.
What about Miles Teller? I would say Dan Stevens could play this character.
Oh, I think Dan Stevens could do it. Yeah, Dan Stevens is a good actor.
Don't you think Miles Teller, to me, he has like this perpetually boyish quality. And I don't know if that's just me, but
that's I think Kevin Bacon has that too. I think that's like what makes him unlikable. But I don't think it's like, I feel like Kevin Bacon always seems like the guy that he started playing, like the cool guy in school that's like too cool to talk to you. And I think that like he's never lost that thing about his face.
That's true.
Bill Skarsgård.
I knew you were going to say that. I left that on the table for you because I know that we're both all about, well, you saw Barbarian before me too. But I was really floored by his performance in that movie and he's incredible, but yeah,
he's great. He could do it. He should be getting whatever part is being offered to Harry Styles right now.
Yeah. When you said that originally via text, I was like, come on. And then I completely sign off after seeing both Barbarian and Don't Worry, Darling.
I mean, you were talking about the screenwriter, they almost had to wrote like Showgirls and Jade and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like there is an element where this is kind of an erotic movie, which is part of what makes it so fucked up and uncomfortable. It's almost like softcore porn, this dynamic between the scientists. Yeah, it's like...
Oh, it really... Yeah, I was going to say, I think the casting of it is like almost obvious. It's almost like they got like... Yeah, like we said, the guy who looks like Giamatti or Brolin is like the big porn actor that they called down and they're like, yeah, fuck it, he could be a scientist.
He looks like a porn actor. Like
he really does look like a porn actor. Yeah, he really does. And he really gives it his all here. Like he's really sweet in it. Like
I love Josh Brolin. I'm glad he's had his comeback and is done doing Marvel movies at least for a little bit. God, he really he had a pretty bleak 90s. It looks like he did. He's in Bed of Roses, which I've never seen. He's in Mimic. Oh, he's in the Mod Squad movie with Claire Danes and Omar.
Oh shit, I even knew that.
And he's the villain in it. That's not a good movie. Not so good. And then he did Hollow Man. And then he does like nothing. He's in Melinda and Melinda, which I don't remember.
I don't remember that.
Does the Will Ferrell Woody Allen thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oof. He's the villain in Into the Blue with Paul Walker and Jessica Alba.
I just saw that recently.
How is that? I saw it when it came out and I remember nothing about it.
I watched it because I watched Luke Rush first, the same director. Uh-huh. And I just really like the way he directs aquatic sequences. He has an eye for those sort of locations. Yeah. It's okay. I mean, it has a lot of typical sort of overwritten or kind of like overly complicated Hollywood scripts, but I don't know, it's beautiful people floating around in water. It's got its appeal.
No, I remember.
Should we watch Bed of Roses again? Like the premise of it.
It sounds like something up your alley for sure.
According to IMDb, Jesus Christ, whoa. I've been working for a really long time. IMDb. The synopsis is romantic drama about a young career girl who was swept off her feet by a shy florist who fell in love with her after one glimpse through a shadowy window. It's like that one Viggo Mortensen movie that has a very similar premise and I think a very similar cover.
Now all he has to do is become invisible to infiltrate her life.
No one has ever fallen in love with me through a shimmery window.
You don't know that because maybe they just never told you. You have no idea. I don't want to say you have no idea who's watching you because that's terrifying. But anyway, but then, he comes back in 2007 with fucking just everything. No Country, Grindhouse, In the Valley of Allah, American Gangster. And then he plays George W. Bush, as we all know.
It's a Walk on the Moon starring Diane Lane and Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah. I remember
the synopsis being, this one's even better. The world of a young housewife is turned upside down when she has an affair with a free-spirited blouse salesman.
Blouse salesman?
Wow.
Yeah. That's all they carry in the store? It's just shelves of blouses?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I think he's like a traveling salesman, like a kiosk. He's got like a van. He's like a hippie with blouses in his van, which is scary.
Terrifying.
Because I think I found this because I was like, it's so weird that Diane Lane and Big Mortensen have been in two movies together, like late night, one night, which was just like giggling at the premise. The stills for this movie are amazing. There's one with Viggo Mortensen clearly telling her that she looks great in a blouse doing this.
You look perfect.
This guy rolls up in your neighborhood, like slowly driving a van full of blouses.
We should Valentine's watch this one.
I'm sorry, I have to kill you now. You look really good.
It does kind of look like it's a van. It looks like it is a van.
Yeah. No, I remember that one because it was that, and I mixed it up with that Keanu movie, A Walk in the Clouds, I think, that came out like a few years before it. When he puts on that, what do they put on him so they can see him?
It's kind of like a cast or yeah. You know, it's like kind of gauze-like. It is very eerie. It's pretty cool.
He kind of it's because my thought when I first saw it was like, oh, he kind of looks like a burn victim, and then he is yes. a burn victim by the end of the movie.
Right. Oh yeah,
he is lit up. Yeah, there's some bad early 2000s fashion in it. Mostly his purple shirt that he wears to the Pentagon,
and his haircut is really bad.
Yeah,
yeah. No it's, one's hair.
It's
is
a man with bangs situation. Yeah.
Oh no! I think him, Brolin, Kim Dickens all have the same haircut in this.
Yeah.
They all kind of have the same. And Elizabeth Shue would have the same haircut if it wasn't curly. If they straightened
it's
her hair,
curly,
she would
so
also
it's more
have
forgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should have curled everybody's
hair. You should go as the Invisible Man for Halloween.
Great idea. Yeah, I really wanted to see like, yeah, his full yeah. head up. Like once he tried to put like, he like draws eyebrows on. I thought he was, he puts lipstick on.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
I'm just a regular guy like you. Just driving around. He just put all this weird makeup on his face.
Mirrored lipstick.
Yeah, I thought he was going to have like the big, like thin eyebrows and shit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no. Oh no, what is he doing to himself?
He's becoming the Joker.
He really is, yeah, with his purple shirt.
It just came to my mind, Kevin yeah. Bacon's like horror movie history, because he started in Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was just kind of think of how he falls into the genre, and it's, I feel like he chose a few, I mean, Flatliners.
Yeah.
God, he really has.
And
yeah.
also his character in Flatliners is not dissimilar to this one, remember? Like he's like, the hotshot one.
Oh, that's right.
Out of the group. Yeah, right. I wonder yeah, if that's almost what they're... I mean, was Flatliners a hit? I forget. But
it
seems like he's just like that character graduated to middle age. And so he's just like...
Yeah. I mean, he's Tremors.
Yeah, Tremors mm-hmm. rules.
You know, I have never seen Footloose.
Oh, it's good. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
It feels like one to just watch maybe. Just to, you know... Say,
yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it. He's
have you seen
really...
that bicycle movie with that Lawrence Fishburne's in? It's right after Footloose, and they're definitely trying to they're trying to make him a cruise like heartthrob, and I just don't ever think
Quicksilver?
Yes.
No.
It's like a bike race movie. It's pretty bad. And there is a scene. There's this incredible segment though. I mean, I will say, like, I think Kevin Bacon might be like a really good cyclist. He does have a cyclist body. There's a scene where I think they're like trying to be like, okay, you remember the guy from Footloose where he's sort of dancing with his bike in a loft apartment. I forget everything about the movie besides
poor Kevin Bacon. Make him dance on the bike.
No, I know.
His bike, like slow dancing with the handle.
It's kind of It's a really fast. It's a really fast. I mean, it is good. Like you can tell that he's like really athletic at it, but it's like it's a lot to ask the actor to do. I also think that he's like he has to do a bike dance and then like flirt with a girl at the same time. It's hard. And Lawrence Fishburne's in it. And he's like his like bike rival.
Are you telling me that Mystic River was like a Quicksilver reunion? Is that?
Oh, yeah. It was.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's Clint East. That's why I hired him. I've seen Quicksilver. I love that shit. You're hired. I watched The River Wild for the first time a few years ago, and he's really good in that.
I haven't ever seen it.
The River Wild's like a
Is he a bad guy? That?
Yeah. It's him and John C. Reilly are the bad guys, and it's a solid early 90s, just like great studio thriller that they just kind of would pump out every few months that you don't really see anymore. Meryl Streep.
It's the one where he also has like a short haircut?
I think so. Obviously, Wild Things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 13. I haven't seen Sleepers in a long time, but he's really good in it.
He's good in everything, isn't he? Like he's
You know what he's so good in?
I can't think of anything
in?
Where I'm like, get him out of here.
Have you seen The Woodsman?
Yes.
No, what the fuck is that?
That's a really difficult movie. He's incredible in it. He's really good. It's about a pedophile who's like rehabilitated into society. He's great in it randomly.
Oh, I think I thought it was just like a horror movie.
No. Well, I mean, I guess in a way. Also, great Mos Def performance.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a difficult movie for sure. You're right.
Yeah. I wouldn't like be like, you got to see The Woodsman, but it's definitely.
Just throw it on.
Yeah.
I'm a prisoner.
You're not a prisoner.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you tell yourself when you leave here at night? Is that how you alleviate your guilt? When I'm stuck in this shithole, and you're at home, fucking your boyfriend.
What bothers you most? That you don't have a life? Or that I do?
this movie has a very low, I think the lowest of Verhoeven's career, has a 26%.
What?
Yeah, it is low. It is low.
I'm surprised it's that low. I thought that maybe like 2000 would have been like 54.
They didn't like it. Even audiences didn't like it. It has a 28% audience score.
Damn.
It is all around not well received. Roger Ebert gave it a bad review. He said, Hollow Man can think of nothing more interesting to do than spy on his girlfriend and assault his neighbor. Too bad. Really too bad, because the movie is supported by some of the most intriguing special effects I've ever seen. That's the point of the movie, though. Just watching the movie. Well, I know I wouldn't have raped my neighbor, I'll tell you that much. Yeah. Charles Taylor of Salon said, I haven't had a worse time at the movies this summer.
Whoa.
I wanted to kill myself. G. Allen Johnson of the San Francisco Chronicle said, a terribly bad movie, one of the worst of its kind in recent years. Robert Horton of Film.com said, one wonders if the only directors left are the obsessives and the freaks. This guy qualifies on both counts.
We need more of those now.
I know. He says it like it's a bad thing. They only let freaks make movies now. Richard Corliss of Time said, too many special effects, many of them stomach-churning, too much pornographically arranged death. David Sarah of the Christian Science Monitor said, this is fatuous twaddle. Fatuous twaddle with a nasty misogynistic edge.
You don't hear that word much anymore.
You don't hear twaddle too much anymore. We should bring
quit writing if someone called my books twaddle.
This is fatuous twaddle. And finally, Gregory Wyckoff of the Dallas Observer said, ultimately, it's an ugly, insipid rape fantasy, nothing more. See, it's weird to project that onto the movie, as if to say that, like I can't imagine watching this movie and thinking, like, oh, I bet Paul Verhoeven like thinks this is a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a horrific sequence.
If this movie came out today, as it is, obviously we know it wouldn't, but as it is, like, I feel like it would have an even worse response in a way. Like, I don't think anybody could
even... Yeah, I think so.
There'd be petitions to ban the release, I feel like.
Yeah, like, people would be, like, saying that I think Paul Verhoeven is, like, a rape advocate or some shit, or that he's, like, condoning this behavior. Like, I don't think people have the critical mind... you know, it's sad to say that. Yeah,
I think we're just like in a moment right now where we feel like, I think it's partially because we pretended for a long time that like any sort of representation, like even if your movie was like directed by like a white dude and you put like an Asian dude in it, like that was like enough. So I think that like it's just it's like taking that to like the umpteenth degree. So it's like, oh yeah, so like if a movie has this in it, then it's also like co-signing it. And I think that like we set ourselves up. I had a person today tell me, it was one of my favorite conversations with this beautiful white woman, about how she was like, what is American cheese doing on your menu? And I was like, she's like, is that what I think it is? And I was like, yeah, it's like Kraft singles on the burger. I work at a Korean restaurant. And she's like, that's appalling for many reasons. But also, do you know why it's called American cheese? And I was like, because it's the American kind of cheese. And she's like, yeah, that we had to make because of government cheese, and government cheese was something that we did for the war effort. So I do find this deeply offensive. I think that she was mad that we wanted to check her Vax card and then decided to be like, you know what, little Asian restaurant, I will find a reason to be mad at you because
you're appropriating my cheese.
And I was like, this conversation is amazing. And you're was like, people get really mad if you, instead of fighting them back on shit like that, if you are just like, whoa, I never thought of that, thank you so much, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the best way to deal with that. Oh, you're right,
it like fucked up her day. It was amazing.
That's insane.
Yeah, I guess today they probably would be like, listen, we hear you, we see you, we're casting Michael B. Jordan as Hollow Man, it's okay, it's all good. Don't worry about it. Who is everyone's MVP for Hollow Man?
Paul Verhoeven.
Oh,
is that, can I say that?
Yeah, of course. Did you say Kevin Bacon, Courtney?
I think mine's Bacon.
I mean, Verhoeven, yeah.
I also really like the woman that's in Gone Girl. I knew her name a second ago.
Kim Dickens is so good in Gone Girl.
I'm going to give it to Kim Dickens because I do feel like that's like the most tense I felt, because I felt like she was a scientist that always knew that he was fucked. Like, I think that she's giving a lot. I think that she always gives a lot. And so, I'm going to take it back.
She's great.
Take her.
Yeah, she's great.
He'll get it again.
I'm going to have to give it to Joey Slotnick.
You are not.
No, I'm not going to give it to the guy that looks like Paul Giamatti, but I do love that his name is Joey Slotnick. Shout out to Joey Slotnick. I always want to give Verhoeven MVP of everything he makes, pretty much. But I think Kevin Bacon really is kind of the secret ingredient, because I think if you really need the right balance with that character. And I don't know how many, unless it was like I'm trying to think of other actors who have that quality where it's like, I I can kind of get behind you. I kind of want to like you, yeah. but I don't trust you. I mean, yeah. I guess speaking of Wild Things, Matt Dillon, but like, oh, Matt Dillon's also not a scientist.
No, you can't have Dillon and Brolin play scientists.
These are the guys. She's bad. She's being fought over by two himbo scientists who invented invisibility.
Oh, I'm dying at that thought.
Oh, fuck. He plays his character from Something About Mary. No, this guy's invisible now. Oh.
What if it was Ben Affleck?
That'd be tight.
I think that would be pretty tight.
I
think I'm kind of on board.
Or like 90s Brad Pitt.
90s Brad Pitt would actually be kind of amazing. Another guy who is.
But like he just wants to be invisible because he's like so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's like people are throwing himself at him.
Yeah. If he was in California mode when he became invisible, that would be really amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not too many actors that have that quality. I think we have like less and less of them for sure now because everyone is so.
Leo DiCaprio. No.
I mean, I think he could. I just don't know how I think he can do a lot of things. It's more just like.
I'm not saying that he overacts all the time, but I think that he would like really let you know right away who he is.
Oh, this is interesting. I didn't read this. I didn't notice this one before, but I guess the other actor that they were considering and another pre-comeback was Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, I could see that.
He definitely has the smugness.
You know who else could have been good at the time? James Spader.
Yeah. Oh. That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I guess he's the only other actor I could think of that you're immediately like, well, this guy definitely is going to fuck and he's definitely going to kill somebody.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys should not have done this.
Yeah, I think Spader could have done it.
That's a good point. That's a fair point.
I don't think we have any Spaders either out there. Like,
no, I don't think anyone is that horny.
What
anymore?
If we recast it with Army Hammer?
That could work.
Just like the world hates you, buddy.
Do we have a final rating on this?
I think it's a train wreck, but like a. I don't think it's a train wreck. No, it's put together too well. I think it's just pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a solid.
It's a solid movie.
Good Verhoeven movie. Would love to see more movies like this again.
Me too.
That makes me sound maybe. You know what I mean.
No, I think that you're saying that like you want to see more movies that are like ambiguous in a way. Yeah.
Yes. Complex.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Doing interesting things with genre.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually liked the new Invisible Man for the most part. I didn't love it,
but I thought it a lot.
You know, it was much better than I thought it was going to be. I remember thinking it was going to be really bad. I mean, Lee Whannell is definitely a better director than an actor. But
Upgrade was fun.
Upgrade's great. I love Upgrade. Upgrade
is so fun.
Love Upgrade. That's Hollow Man. If you want to stream Hollow Man, it's on HBO Max. Yeah. You can find it there. Or you can find the director's cut, which... You know, maybe you don't need, maybe you
How
do.
How much longer is it?
7 minutes.
Yeah, I almost watched this with Erica. My best friend's going through a breakup and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't think you want to watch this movie with me. I think you're good.
Look, things could be a lot worse. You could be this guy's neighbor. Next week, we're going to be doing a little Sam Neill double feature as we continue our horror month there. We're talking about John Carpenter's In the Mouth of Madness, as well as Paul W.S. Anderson's Event Horizon. Two movies that I've been very excited to talk about. Event Horizon movie that genuinely scared the living shit out of me when I was a kid.
For sure. We're just hurtling towards our grand finale, which is the two unfriended movies for this month. Is that right?
That's right.
This is totally off topic, but I just thought Nick Cage could play the Hollow Man.
Oh, yeah.
He could do anything.
Sure. Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, fine.
You want to know what it's like to fuck the Invisible Man. I always knew you were a bitch. I don't know. He's too like,
never mind,
I would love to see it, but I would be like, oh, I really like this guy.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage eating a Twinkie watching Jay Leno makes a lot of sense to me, actually.
It does, actually.
Yeah.
How about a Twinkie? And then Brolin going toe-to-toe.
Oh my God. It would be, yeah.
I still think the Tom Cruise Hollow Man is the most insane one, though, because you would just be like, oh man, he would get away with it. That's the only thing. You wouldn't be able to have the same ending. He would kill everybody and he would get away with it.
But he has that creepy kind of blankness too, right?
He definitely can play that. Oh man. Mike, thank you so much for coming on and staying up with us to talk about this movie.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Where can people find you on the internet if you want them to?
Yeah, people can find me. I have a website, MikeThorneWrites.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram, handles MikeThorneWrites.
Please follow Mike. He's a great writer. Mike, please come back. We would love to have you back at some point.
Yeah, I'd love to. That'd be lots of fun.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Rate and review us.
You can Twitter, please talk to your friends about us. And thank you for all of our loyal subscribers. Yeah. We will see you next week for our Samuel double feature. Also stay tuned for, as we said, our Unfriended bonus double feature. We're going to the dark web. Thank you for listening. See you.